good singing all the way around.
What about you? But I can notice every time I get up, I've got a left knee and a right hip and something that's not 25 anymore. I used to just jump up and be running and going, hit the ground. Now I go to get up and more lay back down. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Psalm. Chapter number 44 in the book of Psalm. Psalm chapter 44, if you're able to stand, look there in verse number 8. Notice verse number 8. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever, Salah. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word tonight. We do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. We praise you, thou art God, beside thee there's none else. Move upon us and within us. And Lord, I pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight about bragging on Jesus. You know why the world's going to hell in a handbasket? They've lost their focus, and they don't have any regard whatsoever for the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have any regard for God, the Bible, good, right, moral, or decent. I was thinking about, you know, that whenever you and I are bragging about God, we're bragging about somebody that is a personal person to you and I. He's a divine person, yes. He's a holy God, yes. But he's personal to you and I, not a figment of somebody's imagination. He's not some kind of a make-believe character. I'm going to tell you something. If you're saved tonight, you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He lives in your heart, you live in him, and he lives in you. I want to say to you that in the day we live in, most of the religion is, they've just got an ideology of some kind of a form of being that they might call a God or may not. I'm glad we've got something more than that. I'm glad to know that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. He's our creator. He's the one that converts us. Let me tell you, make no mistake about it. I'm not guessing about who that he is. I'm not like that crowd over in Acts 17 at Mars Hill. Said, I noticed y'all's subscription that you had, the inscription you was writing, was to the unknown God. I'm glad I know who God is. I not only know him, he knows me. If you're saved tonight, and let me tell you, you ought to brag about every now and again what God's doing. Listen, I don't care if you're going fishing and one of them kids catch a fish, they need to point out God's allowed down. They get to shoot a deer they like, God's allowed down. They bring you back home safely, God's allowed down. I remember all week long as I pray and as I ask God to watch over your family and our children and so forth and on. I don't want to beat you up because I don't want to lose anybody that might be already praying. I get you all ticked off. Well, I won't pray for him this week then. I need the prayer and you're going to need the practice. And let me say to you, but make no mistake about it, all these little kids that are now driving, man. And let me tell you, you better be a praying person. And I appreciate you praying for me and mine and all of our kids and going up and down the road of life. I mean, let me tell you right now, is that we live in a godless and a wicked world, and it'd just be good that if every now and again we could take time out from our busy schedule and brag on how good God has been to you and I. I was thinking about, you know, tonight, and I'm not against football. I'm glad they put it at 5 o'clock because been a lot of people, you know, that was planning on going to church, and now they can't because of that, But anyhow, as the Super Bowl 56 is being played, you know, I looked at some of the things there about it. Do you know it's estimated that there's going to be 117 million viewers of the Super Bowl of 56? Do you know that it costs $5 billion to build that stadium that they're playing? $5 billion to build that stadium. It'll hold some 70,240, and it's packed to capacity. And not only that, but you'll find out that tickets in the rafters, I guess that's pretty high up, cost $4,036. The VIP seats down there, like $75,000 a pop. They had a lesbian woman, an old wore-out 78-year-old lesbo, by the name of Billie Jean King, they came out and flipped the coin to find out who was going to receive the ball first. See that? And we wonder why that the world's going to hell in a handbasket, because there's probably at least 75% that would profess something about God in the Bible in that stadium tonight, and what a godless world that we live in. Now, when I say things like that, people think that, man, he don't like sports. I do like sports. I'm just telling you the reason why this world's in the shape that it's in. Ain't nobody to brag. You know, I pass by several churches that normally have a few cars at it. And I'm glad to know that at least when I went by one of the old Church of Christ, there was a pickup that was spinning out, leaving. He was the last one leaving. I thought, well, bless their heart, they must have met early. They have to, you know, they'll go to hell if they don't. Baptists already know they're saved forever. They can just go ahead and live like hell and shut her down, friend. Some of them got it right there in the house of God with them, friend. I want to tell you something. I ain't kind of bragging I'm talking about. Let me tell you something right now, is that this Bible said that whenever you know God, or rather you are known of God. That's what over in Galatians that he reminded them. How do you go to weak and beggarly elements of the world? And let me tell you something, is that not only do I know God, but God knows me. Now, there's a lot of people that profess to know God that he said, depart, I never knew you. But I know God, and God knows me, and if you're a child of God tonight, you've got somebody to brag about. I want to say, did you notice in the lesson that he said, in God? In God, notice that. He said, we boast all the day long. And I'm going to tell you, he's worthy to be praised and to be bragged upon. In fact, as you'll find, because of the fact that he lives on the inside of us and lives in our heart, is that we know him, he knows us. Over in the book of Psalm 33, in about verse 21, for our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad that I'm in him and that he lives on the inside of me. One of the things that we ought to rejoice about, we've been preaching about crossing the Red Sea and the Jordan River when it overflowed its bank. But there's a psalm over in chapter number 66 and about verse number 6. And the reason why that he reminds us of it is because of the fact that he opened up the Red Sea and that we were able to go forth on dry ground. Chapter 66, psalm verse 6. He turned the sea into dry land, and they went through the flood on foot. And there we did rejoice in him. I'm going to tell you, we ought to thank God for how good he's been, how good he is, and how good he will be tomorrow. And I'm looking with great anticipation to him coming again. Get over in the book of Acts. Don't turn there. But in chapter number 17 and about verse number 28, you'll find that it's in him that we live and move and have our being. I'll tell you, I'm not trusting in implements of war tonight. I'm glad to know that we ought to have some weapons, that we ought to be ready to defend our lives and defend our family and even defend our country. But I'm not trusting, the psalmist said in verse number 6 of our text, I'm not trusting in the weapons. I'm trusting in the Lord, and I'm trusting in God, and I'm doing it all day long. Number two tonight in this lesson, you're going to find out the reason why we ought to trust him all day in verse number 4 of our text is because of the fact he saved us from our enemies and that he is our king. You know, tonight we're talking about the perfect ruler. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that's what he's coming back as. And let me tell you something, when you begin to look into it, it's he that saved us from our enemies and not we ourselves. I want to tell you, now that's somebody you can brag about. Do you know, if God be with you, who can be against you? But if God's against you, it won't matter who all's for you. I can tell you right now, you'll find that our God, that Israel, they were not chosen because they were the most. They were the fewest in number. And as long as they looked to the Lord, buddy, they were unstoppable. They absolutely, you couldn't defeat them. And the fear of God not only was upon all those that were round about, but I want to tell you something, they had somebody to brag about. Now I want to say to you that all day long is what Israel should have remembered and should have kept doing and praising God forever. You know, as a result, if you're a child of God, I can promise you since the day you've been saved, there is not a day that goes by that you're not made conscious of the fact that he lives on the inside of you. You may be griping and raising Cain. You may be absolutely blessing his holy name. You may be sideways. But if you're a child of God, there's not a day goes by that you don't know about his abiding presence, because he lives on the inside of you. If you can go days and at a time without consciousness of the Lord whatsoever, something's radically wrong in your life. I got to say to you that whenever you, whenever you got married, you know about your spouse being there. You might be a little irritated about it, but why don't you get out and find something to do? Well, I thought hugging and kissing around on you was going to be good enough and all of that. Now, let's get off of that. Brother Ron's got a pacemaker defibrillator. We don't want that to go off. I'm just saying to you that if you're going to be anything for God, you're going to have to come by grace through faith to him. If you're going to do anything for God, you're going to have to do it on purpose and not just accidentally up and down the road of lying. I want to tell you something. You know what happened to Israel in verse number 9 and 10? But instead of praising God all day long, like they said, they lost focus. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more focus I lose. And let me say to you, I don't lose focus with him. But that's what they did. And the Bible said in verse number 9 and 10 of our text that now they're ashamed. They're ashamed now because their army is going to have to tuck tail and run. They're ashamed now because in verse number 11, they're like sheep that appointed to meat and been scattered among the heathen. I got to say to you, if you keep your eyes on the Lord, he'll always keep you intact. You'll know you'll be in the right path. You'll be in right fellowship. You'll be able to exalt and magnify him all day long. But if you lose focus, it won't be long until you'll be scattered among the heathen. All right, number 4 tonight, let me tell you something, that there's people that boast about various different things that are in this world. Fact is, over in the book of Psalms, chapter number 97, verse number 7, if I got it down right, is that you'll find there are people that are boasting in the idols that they've made. Now get this religious idolatrous world that we're living in, they build idols that have eyes that cannot see, ears that cannot hear, mouths that cannot speak, hands that cannot help you. And yet they feel good about themselves because they've done something religious, not knowing they've defied the word of the Lord. And I used to witness to those Roman Catholic people over there in Louisiana a lot. And one of the things that would come up would be about those idols that they'd have in their yard and in their house and so forth and on. They said, well, you know, I don't worship. I don't worship it now. You understand? I may kneel down, but I'm not worshiping that. I said, that's not where the sin came in. But where did sin come in then when it was made? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, so forth. See that? And boy, let me tell you, when you showed them that in the Bible, even in their Bible, their jaws would drop, and you weren't welcome there anymore. I got to say to you that if you will, some people boast in that. Over in Psalms 49, verse 6, don't turn there, but some boast in their riches or in their wealth. Look at all I've got, how good God's been to me. They suppose, the Bible said, that gain is godliness. Now, I'm not talking about being able to have extra money and to be able to have, I'm going to tell you right now, is that I've been so poor I couldn't even pay attention. And I can promise you that it's a whole lot better to have something than it is to have absolutely nothing. But if you had everything in this world but the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd die bankrupt without hope, without God spiritually. Well, let me tell you, make no mistake about it, there are some in this world that boast about tomorrow. Over in the book of Proverbs 27 and verse number 1, remember when he said, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Do you know tomorrow brings unexpected things? Sometimes I've awakened and had gone to bed the day before, the night before, and wake up and on the morrow that it's here, and buddy, unexpected things would happen. Sometimes they were hurtful. Sometimes they were horrifying. Sometimes you'll find is that the bitter dregs of it just keep lingering on. I want to tell you something. God's working in the eternity of right now. Today's the day. Now is the accepted time. And you'd better be careful about the fact that you take God for granted. And I know that you don't. I know that you're not. But let me tell you right now is that one of these days, you know, you may want to get real serious with God and about God himself. All day long, he said, I'm going to brag on him. I'm going to boast about him. Now, I want to tell you something. Is that over in Ephesians 2, don't turn there. But over there in Ephesians 2 and about verse number 9, whenever he talked about salvation and the gift of God so forth, he said, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, God's not going to share his glory with anybody but himself. And let me tell you, salvation is of the Lord. And today, if you'll hear his voice, he said, today, if you'll accept him and trust him and brag on him, now's the accepted time. Now, I'll tell you, if you boast in the Lord, here's what they said. I'm going to boast in the Lord today, and I'm going to do it all day. That'd be a good practice, wouldn't it? Let me tell you how it is that whenever you wake up sometimes and you think of him a little bit, but then the rest of it's all for you or all for me. See? And then about evening time or something, how or another, we've been a little lackadaisical, and even though we've been conscientious of him because he lives on the inside of our heart. But you'll find there was not that worship, that fellowship, that walking in fellowship with him like there are on the days you're conscientious of it. And then all of a sudden somebody calls and needs you to pray for somebody. Now you have to try to see if you can't get in touch with God or God listen to you. I just said all that to be able to say this. Sometimes nobody even has to call. Sometimes it's just God is grieved on the inside of me and I have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I mean to tell you that I'm not just a little sorry, and I'm not talking about just for the moment. Lord, I'm asking you to help this world see a better me. You'll have to do that every now and again. I want to say today, all day, tomorrow if it comes, listen, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. I can't tell you how many times is that I've been by the hospital bed and I've seen people that were sick, I've seen people that were trembling, I've seen people that were dying. How very vital, how very important that the Lord is in our life. You understand that? That's the reason why the psalmist said, I'll brag on him all day long. And when they didn't brag on him, they lost focus. And it wasn't long, they were scattered like sheep among the heathen. I don't want to be in that crowd. I don't want to die like the heathen die. I'd hate to know that I was a child of God and had to stick my head up in glory and say, well, hey, you ought to be proud of yourself. Yeah, you finally got to where you live like the heathen, live like the world, look like the world, act like the world, desired where the world was at and what the world was doing. And I just go ahead and got you out of the way to keep you from being a stumbling block. I don't want to leave here like that. Do you? No, you don't. Any child of God in their right mind don't want to do that. See? I want to be able to boast about him and brag about him all day long. All day long. You ever see a car wreck look like it's totaled out? The first thing that I always do is to see if it's anybody I know. Second thing that I do is I thank the Lord, the fact that he's taken care of all of our church family and our immediate family and our kids and your kids and grandkids. Lord, thank you. Had it not been for the, and I don't know who they are, and I'm sorry that it's happened to them. Had it not been for the grace of God, it could have been somebody in our church family, in our immediate family. Just brag on the Lord every now and again, and you'd be amazed to sense how good God's really been to you. Let's stand to our feet, our head are bowed, and Father, we want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. We bless your heart. Pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. Bring us back again safely in